Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Before You Pop Off with me, your host, Sade Michelle. Welcome back, you guys. I know I have been on a very long hiatus. I hope you miss me because I miss you guys too. Hopefully this year, you know, you'll get more shows and episodes from me. That is honestly one of my New Year's resolutions. And speaking of New Year's resolutions, that's kind of how this episode happened, right? So picture this, it's New Year's Eve night. My girl Ashley, who you guys might remember from a previous episode, hits me up and she's like, I'm coming over to your house and we're gonna write our New Year's resolutions down. So I took it as an opportunity for us to record an episode about one of our favorite shows, Insecure. Now for those who have not watched Insecure on HBO, I need you to check it out, all right? So basically, the reason why I personally love Insecure is because I am a faithful fan of Issa Rae, the show creator, and I just had never felt so seen in my life by someone. And that's really what that show meant to me, and I just wanted Ash and I to talk about, you know, what the show meant to us, some of the takeaways we have from the show. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. And we'll be honest, the mic was kind of far away from me for some reason. And so you might want to pump up the volume to hear me speak when I'm talking. All right? Well, enjoy. Hello, Ashley.
Hi.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, I just want to be honest with the audience real quick. We are recording this on New Year's Eve, and we may or may not be a little lit, some more than others.
Litty in the city!
Alright, so I brought you back because of two reasons. Number one, a lot of people listen to our episode about the dating app. So, Ashley, how's the dating world going?
It's still trash. Okay. It's ghetto.
All right, still 0 out of 0 on the Google review.
Yeah, it might be a 1.5 at this
point. Woo! 1.5, we're moving on up. Okay. But that's not what I'm here to talk to you about. So, the great thing about Ashley is we have a lot of things in common. And there are a small circle of friends, unfortunately, that I have that watch Insecure. I feel like you are probably the only one who really watches Insecure like I do. It may be a little bit more, like, you look at the details way more than I do because I'm an Issa fan, but I think I'm still, like, living off of Awkward Black Girl. So I'm going to warn y'all right now, if you have not seen the final episode forever, don't listen to this podcast until you do. So you've been warned. So now all the spoilers are going to happen. So Ashley, how did you feel about the season finale, or I should say the show finale?
What part?
I mean the whole entire, the just that episode, the finale.
I loved it. Let me see. Going back, I gotta remember everything that happened. One, I love that, you know, Issa told me that she told us that it's only 28 minutes. They have to get off in 28 minutes, I think in like 24 seconds, and they gave us 40 minutes. I was excited about that because I'm like, how are you gonna squeeze all of this in 28 minutes and 24 seconds? However, I appreciated it and how they moved through going from, you know, Lawrence realizing that he fucked up and that he really wanted to be with Issa, even though on the last episode, you picked the wrong time, buddy, to have a conversation. But anyway, at a party, that was the wrong time. Going back, okay, beginning of the episode, you know, with Nathan and, you know, me and you talked about it. I feel like Nathan was moving on the track of wanting to be with Issa and, you know, being more vulnerable with her. But in that moment, first of all, the man, you know, just just found out that he's bipolar and he's trying to get on track and, you know.
Did he really just find out? Because we know that Nathan was bipolar before season 5.
I don't think he was getting help to take meds. And coming from somebody that has family members that right. are on that, like that, they don't know what's wrong with him and people just think they're crazy. That's what it sounded like. And he had finally got on track to find out when he went back to Houston that he is, in fact, bipolar. Like, they just was like, he's a light-skinned leaf that blows in the wind. And we don't and we don't know where he'd be at.
I'm covering my face right now, y'all. Because Ashley be saying some stuff.
That was on the episode.
I know, but it's like, y'all, I'm going to just tell you right now. Ashley's going to be quoting, and I'm not going to remember sometimes. That's what I mean by she watches it. Like, she really be paying attention to details. And I'll be like, oh, my God.
You know, they have some gems on there. But they say he's a little light-skinned leaf that blows away and, you know, this, that, and the third. And he, you know, you can't keep up when he's flighty. And them not knowing and having family members that's with that. And it's like, they don't take their medicine, so they be all over the place. It sounds like he had just got a hold of when he found out he was diagnosed with it and he got a hold of it. So now he's, you know, and then everybody's, you notice, I felt more, I guess, apathetic for him this season.
Yeah.
Because so many people kept making fun of his condition. The dude at the his cousin and his wife, right. them at the thing amongst everybody. He's already insecure about it. Then the guy that works at the barbershop with him,
yeah.
making fun, like all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I think that was part of him too, of being insecure in that, because that's not something that people talk about anyway. And then him recognizing, okay, because I'm like that too. Like when he was like, I don't like the way this feels in that car with Issa. Like, I don't like the way this feels. I can't do this because that's probably going to offset him. So I understood Nathan, but I really do think that he really cared for Issa. He really liked Issa. And I love Nathan because he motivated Issa to be something. And somebody made a good point on, I think it might have been on either a post, or it might have been in the insecure Facebook group that I'm in. Yes, I'm in the Facebook insecure group. Yes,
Bye.
I am. So somebody made a good point that said Nathan made Issa good the way everybody was saying Issa made Lawrence better for somebody else. Like, and I was like, I kind of do get it because he did pump her up. She did not have that confidence. He pumped her up to even start the block party, like do the block party. So that's why I like Nathan for Issa versus Lawrence. And by the time her and Lawrence got back together, kind of connected, he even saw like, oh, she knows what she want to do now. So going from that to like Molly and Torian, that was unexpected. And I was like, I'm happy that Molly is finally happy.
She's been mad for a long time.
Like, a whole lot. Ass mess.
That is the one thing we would agree on. So, you know, like, we've talked about this a long time. I'm Team Lawrence, right?
I'm Team Lawrence. Now, don't get me wrong, but I used to be like, I don't want to choose because I love both of them.
Oh, no, I always want to choose.
But
here's my thing. I don't like your point about Nathan, but I think when I was watching the documentary, somebody made the point of, you know, in the previous season, you see that, like, they're soulmates, like Issa and Lawrence. So how could we do that to the fans when mm-hmm. they had all this growth and they hashed it out? Like, mm-hmm. how could we do that? And I agree. Like, how are they going to do that? Because I was getting heated. I was like, I remember I got a tweet that got retweeted so much because it was like, I think it was from Cocoa Butter or something. One of those, you know, black blogs where they were talking about, like, oh, it was when they had just broke up. The beginning of the season, and so they were like, oh, do y'all think it's over? I was like, I'm not convinced. And so all of season 5, I was literally watching with my arms crossed and my leg up and sitting back like, she's going back to Lawrence, he's gonna come over and fuck up shit. Now that fight I did not see coming. But that's when I was like, Nathan's insecure, Lawrence is gonna get her girl, like his girl, woo. So, like, I was petty. I said good morning to the Lawrence Hive because I've always been a part of the Lawrence Hive. Okay? Like, I was petty. So, the final episode was what I needed and more. Mm-hmm. I can't say for sure that was, I can't say that the like season five, what are you doing? You recording. Okay. Season five. Oh, okay. With my, okay. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. She's going to delete that video, y'all. Season five was not expected. But let's go back to the beginning and let's talk about like Insecure and stuff like that. And as a fan, like what that show like meant to you. Because I know for me, I've always been an Issa Rae fan since Awkward Black Girl.
Same.
I don't remember exactly how I discovered it, but I remember somebody was like, "Do you watch Awkward Black Girl?" And I was like, "Of course I watch Awkward Black Girl." And they were like, "You are Awkward Black Girl." And I was like, "And I thank you." So Issa has always made things where I could relate to, and I don't feel like I had always related to characters, but Insecure had a lot of characters where, like, I would put the covers over my head because I'd be like, oh, shit, that's me. And that's why I've always been warned, because I feel like out of all the characters, I've identified with him, like, the most. Yes, y'all, I was on my fuckboy shit, but we replaced the word boy with girl. But how about you?
What was the question again?
So what does Insecure, like, what does that mean to you?
Okay, to me, Insecure, what Insecure means to me. It's, so I was telling somebody the other day, like, it's what, even though I was around at the time, but what girlfriends and living single was to my mom, I was around, but I was an adult. So I hadn't lived life and shit yet. So that's what, those were my favorite shows growing up too, but I didn't know about life. So this is what that was to my mom's generation of, you know, I had my mom watching episode five. I never let her watch Insecure because it's just too much cussing and sex and all that stuff. Ooh, so I just never let my mom watch. I wasn't about to sit there and watch it with her. It was so uncomfortable because I was watching the episode, I think, before when she was, right. No, the episode when she was telling Lauren, Ethan, like, what else, when she was trying to get him to say she loved him or whatever. And I was like, this is so uncomfortable. But anyway, so just let her watch an episode. But my mom was even into it. But, like, what it is to me, I identify pretty much with all of them. Like, my freshman year circle is five of us. It was a bunch of us, but it was five of us that still, like, communicate. But, like, I identify with, like, all of them. I'm not a hot-ass mess like Molly, but some of her experiences, right. I have experienced, I've witnessed. Issa, I'm awkward at times. And some of the things, and I love the way Insecure puts shit in there, like those random ass, like, call outs of somebody yelling some shit that is like, this is so black, but this, like, really what happened. Like, it's that in Atlanta, I love those because of that. It's like that random ass thing, like the episode with her and Lawrence were on a date on last season, and they're there, and the dude walks in between them at the bar.
Yeah.
Oh, you here? So all of those things are her tripping. Like, I'm clumsy as hell. So that's something I would do on a date, like trip. So I identify with her. I identify with Kelly because I'm usually like the clown of the crew, of my crew. Like, so it's like all of them I kind of identify with. Lawrence, I've dealt with Lawrence's. I've dealt with Nathan's. I've dealt with Daniel's. And I have not always made the smartest decision in men. So I'm Issa. I am Molly. I just went out here homing like that. But I was about to run the hell up out of here. So so with all of that, like, and then just the dynamic, I love how each season they show the different dynamics of different things, like relationships in the first season, like Issa and Lawrence's relationship, and then moving into like the ups and downs of her and Issa. I've had that knockout fallout fight with a friend, a really good friend, like they did at the block party. Like, I've had one of those, so I could relate to it, and I was a little bit triggered by it. Also, you know, the dynamic that they had with Kelly and Tiffany, and how she felt left out about, you know, some of the things that happened with that. Like, that whole friend dynamic of how they did that the whole dynamic when they did in this season where they brought them back together and where they started from in college, like all of those things. And I kind of remember like why you had that family. And then on the, you know, the last episode, how Issa and Molly were talking, and I was in tears trying to hold back my tears
when she's
taking her thing off, because how I looked at it, I'm telling a friend who's married now, like she said, and she was, you know, emotional. I said, I see that. I said, because I can see in Issa's face how sometimes when your friend gets married, you're happy for them, but you sometimes feel like you are losing part of like that dynamic, that it's not the same because they now have a family. So I felt that, like, I got a little choked up because I've been in that situation where you're happy for your friend, but your dynamic is going to change because they now have somebody else in the equation. So that was very touching to me. So like overall, like it's, I identify with like everybody. I know a Chad, I know a Lauren, I know everybody. I identify with somebody I went to college with or me. And so in each season, it would be like, damn, that's me. Molly, oh damn, that's me. That's right. like Issa, like, oh, I've been in there. Like some of them episodes tricky.
So
that's what
it's like in season one when Molly was talking about all the ass, because I know I was hella triggered. Like I was hella triggered because like listen, I think you and I have been on the around the same time, and I remember like I thought I was Molly, right? But then like I said, and towards the end, I was like, oh shit, like I'm a Lauren. And I realized that. So at the end of season two, I was like, oh damn, like I need to fix my life. I'll come help me. I know your show's over.
Yes. So with that, that was episode two of season one. Why? Don't ask me what I remember. But when she was calling out all of the apps, I was like, oh, wait, I'm on OkCupid and I'm on Tinder. So all the other ones, I'm like, damn, like, oh, is that real? So I'm checking, like, oh, shit. Like, I didn't catch, I got Bumble because of that. But Bumble, it was all white men in Tallahassee when I first got on there because it was still new. And then the League. And I was like, oh, shoot, this is actually a real app. So I got on the League when I first got, like, a year after I got to Atlanta, like 2018, I got accepted. I was telling my friend last night, I got accepted while I was in the Slutty Vegan line for the first time. So,
real life story, real quick. I thought the League was a fake app, and I felt better about myself. And then I moved to Atlanta, and I had this one friend where, like, I'm gonna try not to do her accent so bad, but like,
oh God. Here we go, guys.
She was like, are you on the, honey, you need to get on the League. That's where the good, but she was a gold digger and she was looking for some broke nigga. I feel like I was on the League when they was welcoming everybody to the League. Cause I was like, I think I'm on the League. I'm like, what you talking about, girl? She was like, that's the League. I was like, oh, it's the Dow. Okay. All right.
I met one guy in person on there. I met two. One guy ghosted me, and I ran into him actually at a friend's birthday. first seeing him in the first time. Yeah. Anyway. And then the other guy, I actually went out with him, met him in 2019, and right before I got a new boss. And we were supposed to go out. His dad passed. And it just never, like, so then we met up one time, went to a concert, and he just wasn't the same after that. So yeah, like that was it. Like everybody else, like they would match, and then would you have 14 days or however long you have to respond?
I don't even respond
after that. You like you disappear, like y'all automatically unmatch or whatever the thing was. So people would match and might start a conversation but not say anything. So I never really got much out of the League.
I've had a lot of matches on the League. I just literally don't respond. Like I'm sorry to every man who's matched me on the League. I'm trying to do better. That's a lie. I'm not even trying to do better at this point. Like,
you know, shut it down.
I'm like,
shut it down.
But anyway.
My little reason, I'm on all these damn apps. I'm on like 6 apps. I'm on 7 as of last night.
I was like, another thing that influenced me about Insecure, and this was actually because of you when we first became coworkers, was when you were telling me, like, you were naming all these artists, and you were like, you don't know these artists? I was like, girl, no. Like, I did not pay attention to the music on Insecure, and I had to go back and, like, watch the episodes and listen closely. I was like, oh, shit, like, Ashley's on to something. So, I actually started listening to the soundtracks because of you. And yes, like, bravo to that crew, because that's true.
And the soundtrack is done by, or not the time, the scoring of the show. I think the first season or second season was Solange. Then Raphael Sadiq got on. So he's, I think, for most of them. Too. He did most of the seasons. Yeah. I think he got on second season, I think. But he might have been.
Yeah, they were.
And Solange was 1 year. I think she was second season.
She was the first season.
Okay.
And he was on there too with her. Because, like, you just came over to my house and I was rewatching the season. So I remember seeing his name on there.
I love Raphael Sadiq. He's still fine. So.
Do you need a minute?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but like the soundtrack, like the if you go on Spotify and they have the soundtracks already on there, like, but like the music I've heard new artists, like TT the artist I already knew of, and her music is on every season. My cousin's done some work with her. And then Giveon, that's how I found out about Giveon in season 4. And I love Giveon now. I was like, who is this dude? Like, Shazam or Google, whatever. I love the music. I just love the little touches, like I said, like the randomness that they have. Like, she might be walking down the street and like, damn bitch. Or when they got robbed and she like, oh, Molly, give me your shoes. And she was like, oh, Issa, no, you can keep them.
I felt that episode.
Those random touches, or somebody yell out the window like, bitch, move, or something. Like, all of that is like stuff that, like, random things that happen in my head or things that have happened in real life. And it's like, damn, like, they know my life. So
I will add this. I will preface by saying, yes, I'm from Southern California. No, I am not from LA. So, no, I don't know those places. My parents are from LA County.
Just reminded me of something, too.
Yes, my parents are from LA County, but they are from a place called Monrovia. If you don't know where that's at, if you've seen Pasadena in the Rose Parade, that's where they're from. But no, that ain't the rich part they're from. Okay? But a lot of the accents that were done in the show and stuff like that, a lot of the culture, like, I loved, what was it, episode 4? Or not episode 4. The last episode before the finale. And when they were talking about LA barbecue and stuff like that. And I was like, I felt it. I had texted a friend because he always disrespects me in LA barbecue. And I was like, see, we like our barbecue, so fuck you. And he was like, fuck LA barbecue. Ain't nobody care about that shit. You know, like, I love those touches because, like, nobody cares about LA barbecue except for LA. I don't give a fuck. We got the best fucking barbecue. I don't give a fuck. Like, y'all can go. We can grill.
But you can't argue with people from Texas. Lawrence was trying to argue with him. Like, they known for barbecue.
Texas is, and we'll give you that. But we can grill all four seasons.
Or Kansas City.
We can grill all four seasons. Who the fuck is grilling during wintertime in Kansas City? Somebody who likes being in the cold. We still warm.
She needs some milk, y'all. When you said, like, the culture, I also love that she spotlights, like, different, like, Black-owned restaurants. Mm-hmm. I love that, like, and, you know, Black-owned businesses and, like, you know, puts those in there. The fact that she gives, like, you know, the artists, and then also that she's, you know, brought people, as we talked about earlier, too, that she brought people on from Awkward Black Girl, you know, bringing those people on to the show, like Thug Yoda, and I forgot her name, on her, that was her best friend on the show, but she was in, we She worked at We Got Y'all on Insecure.
Right.
But that, and I remember watching something I was watching. I don't know if it was on like The Breakfast Club or whatever, when Issa was like, I don't believe in networking up. I like networking across. And I just appreciate that she brought people on that she started with. She even talked about Jadenna, like they went to school together. And so that's how she brought him in. And you know, all of that. Like, I appreciate all of that, of you bringing, you reaching back to bring people in. And people I went to FAMU with was in some of the episodes. Right. So I'm like, oh my God! Like, I know the guy that DJs. He DJed our wedding. He DJed Insecure Fest. Like, you know, the guy that was Kelly's boyfriend on the last episode, I was in school with him, James. And guy I used to dance with, you know, so like, I'm like, the fact that she employs these Black people, and like, I just love that part, like, of like, and she has been on my list. I've been reaching out to Issa since 2012. I'm going to work with Issa, so we're going to put this on here.
Hey, Issa,
call me. Yes.
I just also like to give a shout out. Forgot his name. The one who was in the open,
You said what about him?
The guy who played Dro. Shout out to Dro, even though he doesn't really shout out his area like that. He and I are from the same area. No, we did not grow up during the same time. He is much younger than me.
He's young?
Yes. I think he went to high school
this around. In the water.
I feel like he went to high school like around the time Silas went to high school, but like he's a little bit older than Silas. Yeah. For those who don't know, my brother's name is Silas. We're 10 years apart.
He looked our age. Okay.
I know, but I believe just because the high school he went to opened when I was like a senior in high school, and it was actually my little brother who told me he was from there, and I was like, "What?" And then I went to his like Twitter, and I was like, "Oh, like he really is from Corona." I was like, "Shout out to the IE, like him and Lakeith and not claiming." But anyways, it's okay. I understand.
One other thing I did not appreciate, one other thing I did not like about the season is I just knew that since Dro popped up that we were going to see Daniel one last time. And I almost thought that because Issa always do a plot twist, she always throw a monkey wrench at the end of the season. It's when we think that we know what's going to happen. That's why I was like, is she going to play with us and they not end up together? Her and Lawrence not end up together. I thought she wasn't going to pick Nathan or Lawrence and Daniel was going to pop back up. That's what I had in my mind.
She does fuck with
but why was he not there? I want to know. I thought
if you could please at @everyday_Sade on Twitter so you can answer our question.
I wanted to know, like, why was this man not in one of the episodes on season 5? If we had Dro pop up, I feel like Daniel should have showed up.
But I feel like Dro popping up was a great way to contrast like Torrance and Nathan, right? Because it's this is what I mean by you being on shit better than me. Like, I watch it and keep it pushing. I got work to do, so I'm sorry. I can't be invested like I was invested in Aqua Black Girl. I used to know all the characters' names. We on some loose shit. Anywho, but I felt like that was a stark difference because even though he was high, he was like, okay. And we didn't have to go into, like, I really thought, like, Molly was going to lose him at that point. I was like, damn, like, Molly's not going to get a win. And so when he said, okay, I was like, we're being secure in ourselves and our man is being secure. But I think we did need that because Nathan, I feel like Nathan's still trying to grow up. Because the fact that he showed up to the birthday party, because now we're going to talk about what we didn't like about the season now.
He showed up
to the birthday party. When he showed up to the birthday party, on the last episode.
Whose birthday party?
Issa's birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
When he showed up, I was just like, why the fuck is he here? Like, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a little bit different, but once I'm done with you, I'm done. Once I say I can't do this shit, I'm not showing up to your birthday. Maybe I might send you a happy birthday text. I don't know. Maybe I'm immature, but I'm just not showing up for your shit. Like, I don't. If I'm showing up, it's because I still fuck with your ass and I like you. So it was like, when I had saw that, I was a little weary. But anyways, back to the episode before that, I really feel like that just showed the difference between, like, a man who is secure in himself, a man who like understands who he is and he wants what he wants, and it's like he's not bothered when he sees the ex, no matter what the ex might be saying. Because let's just be honest, Drake was trying to hit on Molly. Like, let's keep it.
He just told her, "I got a divorce."
What?
He came with
somebody else. Yeah, he came with somebody else. Yeah, people do that all the time where they come with somebody else, but they're really looking at you. Like,
I don't think he was,
because
remember she was like,
"You want to talk about it?" He was like, "No, I don't." He didn't want to talk about it because he wanted to talk to her. Either way, he wasn't bothered. The man she came with wasn't bothered.
I appreciated that.
But Nathan was all sorts of bothered about Lauren, and I do appreciate, you know,
she did cry in his mouth, so she didn't know what the hell she wanted. Issa didn't know what the hell she wanted. I'm like, you just need to be by yourself and stop playing with people and they feelings. So you figure out the fuck you want.
Listen, I'm gonna sit here and I'm going to support Issa on this. Issa D on this. Okay. Yes, she cried in his mouth, but I don't think it was just about Lawrence. I think she was overwhelmed and she was feeling like a large case of imposter syndrome, because it's like she's just coming off the Stanford trip. Now she's sitting here trying to put something else together. Like, she was overwhelmed. She was crying in his mouth about,
she was crying about Lawrence's ass.
She was overwhelmed.
And that baby.
she was overwhelmed. And it's like, yes, it was a factor. She was overwhelmed. If I was in Issa's shoes, I'm sitting here, I just put together a large event, like, but I'm coming off of, like, you know, going to my homecoming and people just playing, like, that was played. Homecoming was played. Nobody was thinking. It's okay. We were having a great conversation. So it is recording now. So y'all, I messed up. It was recording and we were having a great conversation, and the last thing I heard was homecoming was like, which it was. And now we're back at our conversation. We was having a good ass conversation, y'all. I don't know how we're gonna come back to this. But I'm just gonna start off with you know, the point of, we were talking about season four, and I was talking about how the underdogs in the show were the parents, because the parents made, not only, I'm not only talking about Molly's parents, but Lauren's dad made him realize, like, relationships take work, right? Molly, when she found out her parent or her dad had cheated, that's when she found out, oh, relationships take work. And I think the parents of Insecure were a necessity because of the fact that, like, I think we all forget that, you know, like, oh, it takes work, because we have that Insta generation, like, you have the couple goals and shit like that, but it's like, we don't see the work in our parents. Essentially, are that those people who, like,
were parents, they were people before were they people, were parents.
They were people who were doing the work and stuff like that. And I think that's how we got or landed to that episode when Issa and Lawrence had a conversation. And I feel like that episode is a, like, a how to have a conversation with your significant other. Look at that. See, I said the word right this time. With your significant other, because I don't think sometimes we know how to have a conversation. I don't think we know how to have, like, how to talk to each other. I can say that for myself, because sometimes I'll be looking at the other person like, I told you once, I don't want to tell you again. So I'm going to walk away. Bye. It's been real.
Some people just avoid grown-up conversations. But you saying, like, you said you told them once, but I think our generation, a lot of times, like, they don't want to have an adult conversation, right. Or if there's a disagreement, it's over. I don't want to deal with them. Instead of working it out, being able to talk, to have adult conversations, because a lot of times everybody, well, I always say everybody grown till it's time to have a grown conversation, and it's right. like you have those conversations that are difficult. That you know what, I'm not interested in you, or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, or you know what, this is why I did what I did. It's better to just avoid it than to have the conversation, which can save a relationship versus you avoiding it, which can, you know.
And that's why that episode saved their relationship. And at the end of the day, Issa Lawrence and that baby from canola oil.
That's my neighborhood too, canola oil.
Canola oil. I know her real name.
Condoleezza.
I be calling her canola oil because, you know, she didn't do nothing but live, but I'm still mad at her. she did nothing but live. And but yeah, so I will say this. Let's just focus on season 5 because I will say, even though I liked how it ended, I will say season 5 was my least favorite season.
Why?
Because, number one, we got to dig a little more into Kelly. I thought, oh, like, we're gonna, like, dig a little bit deeper in some of the, like, characters we don't usually see, right, a lot. I was a little sad that we left Kelly's preguntas to, like, one episode. And then she had the line of the year that I will now... my petty ass will be using when people ask about my friends.
My friends. Everything I associate with is thriving. In abundance.
In abundance. In abundance. No, literally, everyone that I associate with is thriving in abundance. Can I put your business out there? Ashley's no longer my coworker.
So when they ask about me?
I say that she's thriving. In abundance. That's my new thing.
That's
I used to say she's booked and busy, but that one just sounds even better. And I mean, I say it out loud so they know. So they know she's good. Stop asking about her.
Mind your business.
Like, call her. Y'all got her number. Stop asking me. I say that too.
You know, another thing for me was, season, so I identify with Issa in this season, and also season 3. When she leave her job, season 3,
I think so. Yeah,
feel like it was season 3, and I remember being like, I can't wait to get that feeling. Like mm-hmm. I remember when she left, how relaxed she felt. Like I don't know what's next, but I can relate to that because y'all left my job this year, August. And I just felt whatever. I was like, dang, I can't wait to feel that way.
She called me on vacation.
I felt that shit.
And I was a wreck.
I felt that shit. I didn't tell nobody till it was time.
She literally did. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for what you did.
That Issa feeling like.
I mean, whew. I was happy to see that Issa was thriving and stuff like that, but I just feel like we should have dug more into the imposter syndrome feeling mm-hmm. that she was feeling. There were just so many things where it was like we just dealt with it in one episode, and then we were like, all right, this is Nathan, this is Lawrence, mm-hmm. is she going to be living single?
I thought her ass was about to be single because I'm like, girl, you don't know who you are at this point. I thought her ass was going to end up single and still insecure. But
I would have loved to. I mean, all I needed was one line on why Kelly and Amal didn't like each other.
Oh.
I just needed one line where it was like, oh, because he didn't pick me up from the airport when Issa sent him to go pick me up. Some shit like that. I could. Just one line. Mm. Therefore, I'm petitioning for Kelly and Amal to have their own show, a spinoff, because you know that show would be hilarious.
I want. I was like, I hope that she's like, we playing and this not the last season, or that Molly or Kelly gonna get their own show, their own spinoff show. Like, I needed to continue because I know they didn't expect that it was going to be the magnitude of what it is. So, girl, go ahead and give us a spinoff, please. Molly can have her own show, her and Torian. And damn, it was something I was gonna say, but I don't remember what it was about Molly. I don't remember.
I don't know. Like, and that's another thing. Molly and Torian had their moments. I just feel like we should have explored that more too.
Maybe sooner in the episode, maybe? Or yeah. I mean, in the season? Or
yeah, it was just Molly and Torian just felt rushed. But I mean, I know sometimes relationships happen like that, but it just felt rushed.
Now, what I do like is that the season we was just watching, was that season two?
Yeah.
When her therapist, who always talked about what you should have, you should be doing this by now, you should be doing this, and all of the rules that Molly, in the beginning of season five, you see her like delete that long ass profile, you can't have no kids, and this, and let go of all of those expectations of what she had, and the unlikely person that she ended up with was Torian. I thought that was cool too, because I mean, you know, sometimes we just be having like all these like unrealistic things.
But what is Torian really unlikely?
I feel like he was for her, but she never went for the guy that was for her. She like he was one that would be good for her. He was a good guy. Mm-hmm. Well, he was an asshole for a long time. But I don't know why, but I mean, she did fuck him over. But anyway, so he did fuck him over. But he was an asshole before that. But I think I do miss Andrew. But like, I think how he attended to her, she never had that, like, other than Dro. But then that kind of was that was messed up once they started sleeping together. But I don't feel like she even was that vulnerable with him because they never even showed him come around her family like that.
Well, no. They didn't, but I will say they were vulnerable in a different way. Now, if you remember, they both said like they had never been in a serious relationship, mm-hmm. and so they were exploring that, right? And then there was that vulnerability that he had because of the fact that his brother was being an asshole. Like, mm-hmm. there's no other way to say it. And so there was that type of vulnerability, and I think he struggled with that. I mean, yeah, we saw more his than her vulnerability. Mm-hmm. I think they were a vulnerable couple, especially like towards the beginning, because mm-hmm. they were trying to figure out what does a serious relationship look like. Because, oh shit, neither of us have been in one. And I think they both had that picture of, when I finally get in this serious relationship, it's going to be with somebody who's been in a serious relationship, and that person's going to take the lead and I'm going to just follow. And then they were like, oh wait, we got to do this together. Like, mm-hmm. we got to figure this out.
I just think, I guess, because what Molly was going through with her mom, and you know how he, you know, kind of saw about her and sent her that little you know, her little lunch or whatever, because she, you know, all of that in that time. I wasn't expecting her mom to die, though. That I was not expecting, not as soon. I thought if anything was going to be in like the episode where she had the stroke, but I didn't expect it, because it seemed like this was supposed to be like a few years later. I didn't expect her mom to die.
I thought she was going to die just because, you know, we always knew Molly's mom to be the one to pressure her to get married so she could see her grandbaby.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was going to happen. Like, did I want the mom to die? Of course not. But I kind of expected that to happen. And if she would have not died, I would have been even more mad at season five than what I'm currently in right now. I would have not put it out on the Twitterverse. I would have.
I think that, like, again, like, all of those different dynamics. Like, I just like how they highlighted so many different dynamics of, like, adulting. Adulting is so ghetto. But, like, life just be happening. And, like, you can't really control it. Like, things happen. People die. People get sick. You know, divorce happens. They talked about, you know, postpartum. They talked about mental health. They talked about divorce and like, or like family, you know, parents issues, because so many people be like, oh, I want what grandma them had. And I always be like, don't cover that, because you don't know what grandma had to deal with granddaddy to get to where they are now. You know, some granddaddies had a whole family on the other side of town. But anyway, so with that, then you had, like I said, the friend dynamic of like, the whole moving away situation and how that affects people.
I felt
But the married dynamic again of like, I saw in Issa's face how she was looking when she hugged her and cried. It was like, you know, I'm emotional about this. Like, thank you. But it was also, she felt scared as though like, I'm about to lose my friend in the sense of that. And then covering, you know, like I said, I don't feel like Torian was what Molly pictured. Like, he wasn't tall. He had the money. He had the money, but he wasn't tall. He had the money. That's what I mean with the money and sex success. But like, that's all he.
Privileged people.
You know what I mean. Yeah, I mean. So he didn't have all of the other visually, or you know, other than you know the career, and it was like, okay, all this time you was looking around, you probably needed somebody in your same field to understand where you're coming from anyway. And like the busy work nights and stuff that Andrew didn't understand, or like work, like you needed somebody, which they kind of say anyway, you need to kind of have somebody that kind of understand your lifestyle. If you busy, you need somebody busy, not somebody ain't doing shit, because y'all not going to balance out. So I think in that regard, he was, but he was still unlikely based on what Molly saw and everybody else and how they like aesthetically, they're like, He was decent looking, but he was not like the fine man of like the guys that she that too. So she softened up once they kind of got to know each other, because he was like, I didn't know you had a family.
All of that.
And I think that and him being there for her in the time of her being, you know, vulnerable and with her mom and stuff, like kind of brought them together. So I like that dynamic that they had, because I mean, sometimes we do be having unrealistic stuff, and it's like, damn, we get old. Like the character, like the what do you call it? Your character and those things, those traits are more important. But we put a little bit more emphasis on the other things that really don't matter, and then they kind of settle on that. Like when you get in your 30s, like.
And again, that's why we needed the parents of Insecure. So, they were the only ones. Even Issa's mom had a moment, like.
But them twins.
But like, you know, I will go back to something that you said about moving in Amanda Seale's character, Tiffany. I will say I got a little choked up in that moment because of the fact, well, yeah, you're away from your friends and I'm away from my friends. And like, it took me back to this summer where, you know, I came back home, not on the best of terms. I had just lost a family member, and the funeral was, like, on my birthday. And just the fact, the way that my girls, like, showed up for me, that's kind of how, you know, I felt in that scene, like, watching that scene, because it's, like, at the end of the day, no matter how far away you are, like, your friends are your friends, and they'll show up with for you no matter what. Whether it's like in the physical presence or just like giving you a phone call. And so it was like, oof, like I knew that feeling that she had where it was like she hated the neighborhood. She was just like so happy and relieved to see like her girls and like, every time I come back home, it's just like I'm very happy because like my girls will always show up. They're always loud at my parents' house. My parents have the best place to be at. Like, sorry, mom and dad, but it is. You know, so I almost got a little tearful. Just one tear. Y'all, she's still trying to record videos at a terrible angle at that while I'm not wearing makeup. But
it's
that's
not,
okay.
It's not true, but okay.
Let's wrap this up. So basically, you know, overall, secure? Are you satisfied?
I'm satisfied. What? Okay. So the last episode, I was expecting like something else to come after that. But I'm going to go back and rewatch the last episode because there were some things that people were dropping. Like, and I totally didn't realize Issa coming home on her birthday and Lawrence has a cake. I totally missed that because I was just so excited. I was just so excited and like, oh, one, like, this is the last episode. I'm trying to save the
baby
8 minutes.
Was, like, all excited. How you missed
and
that
so,
cake?
No, I mean, but I didn't correlate back to season one where he forgot her birthday and ain't even get her a damn card. Like, that's what I mean. Like, that, I missed that correlation. I was like, oh, I was looking at all the other stuff that happened and I was like, oh my God, this episode is about it. So like, I was expecting something else after that, but it kind of just ended abruptly. I don't know what I was missing, but I felt like there was something else that I wanted to see. Maybe, I don't know what it was, maybe more Tiffany's dynamic. I don't know. Something I was missing there, but overall, the show, I'm sad that it's over. I love Insecure. Like I said, I should 2016, so you know, that was a long little time to be watching it or whatever and invested in it. I was truly invested in Insecure and the characters and like the storyline and like I said, identifying with people. And I just feel like this is what our generation needed because we didn't have that. And you know, just so you had the bougie friend, the natural friend, you know, like it's just so many different avenues. And I love. So I'm sad that it's gone. Issa, please do a spinoff.
I mean, she's giving us rap shit.
What?
You haven't heard about rap? We'll talk about rap shit offline. Because I'm focused on Insecure. City Girls are, I think the City Girls are involved in.
Do you want your man or no? You gonna go back home or
no? I will say that as you talk about Mirror Girl,
Mirror bitch.
I'm trying to be nice, okay? I'm trying to be pleasant.
You just said nigga all throughout this episode.
Nigga all through this damn episode. I was trying to get somebody some respect. But yeah, mirror bitch. The fact that she did not show up. And that was a symbol. I will say, overall, I am satisfied with how it ended. No, we didn't dive into characters that I wanted to dive into. But at the end of the day, the fact that, you know, that voice inside your head goes away, I think that I needed to see that. Because it's like, I feel like I'm crawling my way there. And so it's like, it's good to know that, like, eventually that voice goes away. Or it doesn't go away, but it's a lot quieter when you become more secure in yourself. So I love that. I really do love that.
I've missed that one too. I was like, I gotta go back.
I'm gonna need you to go. We are literally, you guys, we're gonna stop this episode so she can go back and watch it. But again, I do appreciate you coming to my house because I know you had other intentions, right? To be here at my house, and I was like, we're gonna record this episode. Thank you for coming back to Before You Pop Off. And since at the time of this recording, you know, it is New Year's Eve. We are about to go into the new year, 2022. I know our lovely therapist Tiffany's like, we don't do resolutions. But what is your resolution anyway?
Bet on myself. What else? Bet on myself. In my potential, and where it's cliche with what you know people say if something don't serve you, but if it don't check out, get the fuck away. So I that's something that I learned in 2021, and you know, letting go of something that no longer served me, and getting out, even though I had fear and stepping out on faith, I bet on myself, and so that's something I'm taking into 2022 and life to. Do that from now on, and never stay somewhere where you tolerate it. What is, go somewhere where you're
tolerated.
Appreciated, not tolerated, and that's my motto forever. So, yeah, so more of that, and less stop second guessing, and doing more of you know betting on myself.
Yeah, I
my potential. So that's mine. What's yours?
So stop being a fuck nigga. No, I'm kidding. I think it is to, number one, listen to myself more. I think I did a lot of that this year. And I don't think I did that intentionally this year. I think I did it more so because I was challenged too. So to listen to myself more, to check in with myself more, because, and also, I did this year too. I was very intentional about reclaiming my time, to the point where, like, somebody was like, Sade vacations a lot. And I said, she sure does. Like, and y'all really not going to see me because I got a lot of vacation time. So just, going back to reclaiming my time and, becoming the person that I know I can be. Because, hell, dope as fuck.
Period.
So yeah. That is my, I guess, New Year's resolution for 2023. So anyways, let's go take more drinks.
Cheers. Clank
clank. Clank clank. Oh, we're good. Oh, okay. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Before You Pop Off with me, your host, Sade Michelle. Welcome back, you guys. I know I have been on a very long hiatus. I hope you miss me because I miss you guys too. Hopefully this year, you'll get more shows and episodes from me. That is honestly one of my New Year's resolutions. And speaking of New Year's resolutions, that's kind of how this episode happened, right? So picture this, it's New Year's Eve night. My girl Ashley, who you guys might remember from a previous episode, hits me up and she's like, I'm coming over to your house and we're gonna write our New Year's resolutions down. So I took it as an opportunity for us to record an episode about one of our favorite shows, Insecure. Now for those who have not watched Insecure on HBO, I need you to check it out, all right? So basically, the reason why I personally love Insecure is because I am a faithful fan of Issa Rae, the show creator, and I just had never felt so seen in my life by someone, and that's really what that show meant to me, and I just wanted Ash and I to talk about, what the show meant to us, some of the takeaways we have from the show. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. I will be honest, the mic was kind of far away from me for some reason, and so you might want to pump up the volume to hear me speak when I'm talking. All right? Well, enjoy.